Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, campers, a boat, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Christian Brown said after the loss on Saturday, we're the defending champs. We got to act like it. Have they acted like it at all with any consistency so far during the opening six games?
No, they haven't looked like the defending champs. Although their ability to remain calm and to come back against the Lakers was in its own way, okay, admirable. It's not the way you want to continue to play games. It just isn't. And Michael Malone has said as much.
Do they look like a team that is, that, for lack of a better phrase, they are in regular season mode? Do they look like they're in playoff mode, really?
Well, no. I mean, no. They don't look like they're in playoff mode. If playoff mode is what we normally associate with it, urgency, sharper focus, closer to playing 48 minutes, no letdowns. You know, no, they haven't played that way. That's a tough thing against a team that matchup-wise, talent-wise, is as good as you or deeper than you. And I think you can make the argument that the Timberwolves are a little deeper than the Nuggets. And if you're taking away the two main cogs for the Nuggets, which the Timberwolves did a really good job with. Remember, Jamal Murray, no points in the first half. Nikola Jokic, 7 turnovers. You get those two stats pulled together, you got a chance to win a lot of games in this series.
Last year, I think it is fair to say the Nuggets looked like a team that felt they had something to prove, and they wanted to throat punch everyone. They don't look like that right now. And Minnesota does. Minnesota, better, deeper team clearly than the Suns, even though the Suns have Durant and Booker and Beal, I get it. But
they proved it.
But they, in 3 of the 4 wins, they beat them by double digits. A lot of these games weren't close. The best thing I think you could have said about the Nuggets going into the series was, they are the champs, you got to beat the champs, and the champs know how to close. And no reasonable person would argue that they know how to close.
Sure.
My concern isn't that the Nuggets can't close. My concern is we now know Minnesota can. And that, to me, is the problem. With 6:15 to go in the game, the score was tied at 84, and who played better? And without question, despite the closeness of the score, Minnesota was the better team. And honestly, as I watch it, I'm not going to suggest that the game wasn't in doubt. But if I'm a Minnesota fan, I didn't feel overly threatened by what the Nuggets could do to them. Anthony Edwards, while he said, "I've never had so many easy buckets. I can't remember the last time I had so many easy shots." He was talking about the first half. The second half, he was hit. He looked like Michael Jordan out there, hitting tough shots and everything, playing great defense.
Well, I mean, the numbers indicate it. 43. I mean, you would like to make him work a little harder than 17 of 29. It was his efficiency that killed you. And the Nuggets have got to prove that they can somehow guard him. They haven't proven it. I'm not sure how they're going to do it.
To me, it's not about guarding Edwards. It goes back to the Jordan rules. Let him get his. Just make sure Naz Reid doesn't go off for 14 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Make sure that Mike Conley doesn't hit key shots.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way,
you certainly have to do that.
And oh, by the way, I'll give you another reason why I'm feeling good if I am Minnesota. Karl Anthony Towns was not a huge factor in that game because he was certainly in foul trouble in the fourth quarter.
No.
He hasn't even gone off yet. Now you can make the case Jamal Murray hasn't gone off yet. But he hasn't gone off yet, really, in six games.
Right.
Despite two game-winning shots.
Yeah. Had one killer quarter against the Lakers, where he had 14 points and then the game winner. Other than that, it's been fairly pedestrian. And we don't know. Look, the dude's a warrior. We know that much. He's earned that description.
But is your concern now that because Jamal feels he has something to prove, and I don't mean he has something to prove. He has a championship ring. He's clearly one of the best playoff performers in the NBA. That becomes Jamal's now going to be taking a lot of high volume shots.
I don't mind him being high volume if he gets into a rhythm.
Right.
But to your point.
My point is, yes, because his teammates will say to him, just like they did, what was it, in game two of the Lakers series?
Keep shooting.
Just keep shooting. And that, to me, if he's not in rhythm, that's going to put the Nuggets further behind if he's not hitting.
Well.
And then Minnesota's going to lock down defensively, which I think they're going to be pretty locked down throughout the series. And now you find yourself further and further behind if Jamal's not. Yeah, if he's hitting, take as many shots as you want.
17 of 39 with the big two is not going to win games. Period. It's not going to win games.
And then with Jokic, you look at his volume. When he shoots 25 times or more in a game, they're 4-10.
Yeah. I don't mind that as much, especially if it helps them get off to a good start.
They're 4-10. That's the bottom line.
I know, Eric, but I mean, that doesn't matter. Every game is different. And Jokic can help them. I do think he needs to be more aggressive early in the game. I do. Does that mean that, I mean, I think that you can win with Nikola Jokic. They've won it 4 out of 10 times. You can win with him shooting if he's efficient. 11 of 25, it's not the 25 shots that he took. It's the 14 that he missed. That's the key. I mean, Minnesota made the Nuggets feel them all night. I'll use Michael Malone's description. You got to make them feel you. I'm not so sure the Timberwolves ever really felt the Nuggets.
What makes you believe that Jokic is going to make the Timberwolves feel him outside of the obvious, which is making buckets?
Well,
can they do strategically to make Minnesota feel Jokic and Murray? What's the strategy behind it? Because the pick and roll isn't working. Jamal's a little bit banged up. He hasn't been very good in these playoffs when you compare him to, you know, previous years. Mm-hmm. And Jokic is getting three bodies thrown at him.
Well, you have to
big bodies.
You have to be able to find guys that are left open. I thought Jokic's playmaking was actually pretty good. The problem was he was turning it over seven times.
Right.
When you give a team like Minnesota, who's shooting 52%, 71% in the second half, and you're giving them extra possessions, they're going to score off those possessions.
Here's the simplest way for the Nuggets to win this series. They have to play 48 minutes of defense, period. The offense will come off that defense.
Yeah.
And if they choose not to play defense full tilt, like falling behind 18-4, they're going to lose this series.
Yeah. You can't give up 66 points and a half to the Timberwolves. They only scored 106. And they got 66 of them in the second half.
This was a Timberwolves type of game that they like to play.
Sure.
Low scoring.
Exactly. 100's the magic number. You don't beat this team if you don't score 100.
Coming up after the break, Sean Keeler, who is a columnist for the Denver Post, wrote an article on Deion Sanders. Here is the headline. If Coach Prime doesn't win, CU Buffs Deion Sanders is just Ed McCaffrey at Northern Colorado all over again. We'll find out what he means about this next.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream, travel trailers, campers, a boat, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, it's not too early to start thinking about lunch or dinner. My suggestion, go to not only the best barbecue spot in town, I think it's one of the best restaurants in town. I'm talking about Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. I've been to a lot of barbecue spots in Denver, in the metro area, and nothing even comes close. Their brisket, tender. Their ribs, slowly smoked. But it's bigger than that because Dave had a past life, so he has other things on the menu. A wild salmon Reuben, outstanding. A smoked meatloaf with a mushroom balsamic glaze, which is absolutely fantastic. They have non-barbecue items. They have outstanding sides. They take care of the little things that make their things so great. The mac and cheese, super creamy. Some places are like that, some are not. But they put panko breadcrumbs on top to give it some extra texture. Collard greens are great. They have all their desserts are homemade, like a bread pudding. Go check them out. You're going to love them. Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. You can find them off of 36th and Pecos. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
Before we bring on Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, who is a terrific columnist, I'm just going to put this out there, and this is clearly just my opinion, okay? Some people will look at Sean as a guy who has an agenda with Deion Sanders. I'm going to spin this differently. He's one of the few adults in the room. Because there are so many young kids up there who just want to kiss Deion Sanders' ass and are thrilled to be in the room with him, and they're afraid of him, and they want to curry favor with Deion Sanders. I'm an old school guy. Bruce, you're an old school guy. This is the way journalism is done. If you want to kiss ass, then be a fanboy. If you want to be a journalist, do it the way Sean does. Do it the way Mark Kisla does. Do it the way Troy Rank does. Don't tell me we are get off my lawn guys. This is the way we were taught, and I'm proud to say I'm an old school guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm off my soapbox, good morning, Sean.
Good morning. That's the nicest intro anyone's given me related to Deion Sanders probably ever.
I'm tired of people coming after you because you're the only guy who's willing to, one of the only guys who is willing to hold him accountable and not throw up softball questions to curry favor so then you can pay him for an interview. Pay his players for an interview, because that's the way it works on the flagship. That's the way it works on television. You got to pay for an interview.
Yeah, you just don't do that. And everything about Deion is different. Everything about Smack, his organization, is different. And it's a pay-for-play thing. Anyone who is in there getting you your exclusives, anyone who is in there giving you your time, they're not bad people. They're not necessarily bad reporters, and they're certainly not necessarily bad human beings, but they have paid money to get that access, and they are the one of the few, and probably the only, and you guys could speak to this better than I could, and Bruce, you guys absolutely could, one of the few examples anywhere I've thought of in my decades now where that's the rule for getting access to someone. It's not about the time you spend with them. It's not about your ethics. It's not about your track history. It's not about what you've written, or in my case, some of the reverse access is what you've written. It's about what you've paid. And that's new to me, and I think that's problematic on a couple levels.
I'm going to say one more thing about this. You know who I feel really bad for? I feel really bad for a couple of guys. I feel bad for Dave Platty, the former SID, who is a legend in the business.
God, one of the greatest dudes ever.
And Deion Sanders has torn down his department, and the guy holding the bag is Curtis, who does a fantastic job, and he's barely involved because the state-run media of Deion Sanders' son runs this thing. But I digress. You wrote a column, and and that's why we're bringing you on today. You wrote a column, and here is the headline of that column, if I can get to it on my computer, which apparently has just frozen up.
Oh,
but
dear.
Now I have it in front of me. If Coach Prime doesn't win, CU Buffs coach Deion Sanders is just Ed McCaffrey at Northern Colorado all over again. And what do you mean by that?
I mean, haven't we seen some of these same beats about 2 years earlier? And I'm not saying all of them, and I know we'll get into this in the column because I know you've read it and I know you've given this a lot of thought. I know you guys have talked about this off air and on. This was always the possibility when you kind of stunt cast this role for someone who is a name and not a coaching resume. Yeah, he won at Jackson. Yes, these are true things. Yes, he was going to get a FBS job. These are all factors. But it stunned me sitting back, especially last week, where the Twitter defensiveness came back and the clapping back. I think what was new last week that struck a national chord was the clapping back on Twitter with the former players and the advocates for the former players. The Athletic story that started this, guys, we wrote a year ago, and Bruce, I know you know this, because we reached out right away.
Right.
The guys from that, whatever, 5360, whatever got run out. It was almost exactly a year ago. Jordan Tyson was what kind of instigated me to chase him down and chase his family down. Graham Page at Boulder, I know people who know him well. And I went, what's going on here? Because, a lot of 1-11 guys couldn't play. These two guys could. And certainly in the case of Tyson, who's now at Arizona State, absolutely could at a power four, got to you say power four level. So the clapback reminded me a little bit, not as an exact copy of what we went through after year one, between year one and year two of Ed, That didn't end well. I'm not saying this isn't going to end well. I'm just saying that I've seen a lot of this before, and that would bother me at least a little if I were a CU fan. And I think some CU fans now, because they saw ESPN rip them for the first time, are bothered by this.
There are different ways of doing things. Certainly we are seeing a totally different way than we are accustomed to or that we've seen in the past with the way that Deion Sanders is running his program. Warning signs for me come with things that you did a really nice job pointing out and have been consistent in pointing out really during his tenure to this point. The turnstile continues to churn, and the lack of, for me, the lack of perceived stability from the outside looking in to it is really, really dangerous. And I think, I just don't know where we move from here, because what does stability look like under Deion Sanders? It's been 2 years of the turnstile just clicking away. I don't know, Sean, how does that look?
It looks pretty typical for him, but unusual for us. I think he had 4 OCs in 4 years at Jackson. You know, or 3 years Jackson, whatever it was, with Shadur there. And mid-season stuff, all this stuff that is not – I mean, again, we have to accept that this was never going to be, air quote, college football normal.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the judgment is not us talking about it or – you know, me writing about it, it's on the scoreboard. And that's the bottom line of that column too, is one of the reasons things with Ed never progressed to a year three. I mean, there was a COVID year in there too, and they had to fight that and whatever you thought Team McCaffrey was equipped for at the college level. Nobody was equipped for literally skipping a season and everything we dealt with there, granted, but the scoreboard is the judgment, not his Lord and Maker, not you, not me, not anybody else. It's going to be about that. And that would also be the part that worries me, because the other problematic parallel besides the roster churn, which happened at UNC, and I think the story 2 years ago that I believe the Greeley Tribune did with a lot of anonymous players, go Google that, by the way. That's maybe, please Google my column, please read that, but then go read the story from the Greeley Tribune in January 22, I want to say it was a lot of, we wouldn't have done it this way, with a lot of anonymous players saying, I never got taught. They had their family running everything. They cared about 5 to 10 guys, and the rest of us were ignored. That struck a chord with me, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing this again, and that's not good. Now, I don't think they're going to go 3-9. I don't think they're going to go 4-8. But it is hard, to you guys' point, to maintain the consistency to build a program when you have that kind of roster churn and you have that kind of coaching churn and you have a reputation where a lot of good assistant coaches and a lot of good play callers, and this is a fact, this is not an opinion, do not want to work for you. They do not want to work for Deion Sanders, and that is going to be a problem if you are trying to build something beyond this year, which I'm not wholly convinced they are, and we will see.
We are talking with Sean Keeler, terrific columnist for the Denver Post, wrote a column, If Coach Prime Doesn't Win, Sanders is Just Ed McCaffrey at UNC All Over Again. I'm going to ask you a question, simple yes or no, and then I want to dig deeper. If for some reason I decided to do a Christmas card, and I found the biggest mansion in Cherry Hills Village, and me and my family stood on the driveway, and somebody took a picture of us in front of that mansion, is the assumption from people receiving those cards that we own that home?
Yes.
Okay. So let me ask you something, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this because I talked to somebody over the weekend about this, and I was flabbergasted. This person said to me, quote, Deion Sanders, they are the Kardashians. This is nothing more than a big ruse. This is a con man of con mans. Let's start with this, okay? Deion Sanders said over a year ago his son takes classes online, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why in the world did Deion's state-run media have video of Shadur going into a chemistry class? That is a ruse. That is a con. That is trying to make you believe something that is happening, but it's actually not happening. I'll ask you this question. Remember that home that Shiloh and Shadur bought for his dad?
In Golden, yeah.
Yeah. Did they buy it?
Not after a week after that video came out.
No. So they presented, look at what my sons are doing for me, but it was never bought. It was a show and it was a con. This is the guy running your football program. I hope he wins. He is a con man. It is a fraud with what he is doing. He may win games, but if he's willing to do this, what else is going on there? Am I way off base on this?
You're not way off base. And let me say this about that point. And let me say this about all the points out there objectively, because I think, and people have asked me about this, and I know you and I have talked about this, and Bruce probably agrees with what he's experienced with this. When the former players say it's a circus, it's a show, it's about the TV program, it's about his kids, it's about the chosen five or six, and Seton's in that group because he's going to have SMAC representation. SMAC is the agency, by the way, that Michael Strahan runs with Constance Schwartz-Marini, that is Deion's agency, basically. Those things are true. Xavier Smith might not have been good enough to play in the Pac-12 last year. That's also true. And he may have been what the cool kids call mid. But all those things are probably true. And they can coexist in the same world. So, yeah, I think that said, if you have a program that is largely for show and is largely the sizzle, that is trying to upgrade and has upgraded its talent, because that's the only trick he has in the bag. That's it. All he knows how to do is very travel ball, AAU, I guess, is to throw talent at it. And to, if I assemble enough talent, the very mid coordinators I have, and they have mid coordinators. Let me use Shadur's language. By the way, Shadur is the OC. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons Sean Lewis isn't here. He's like, what am I doing? This is not what I signed up for. They have very mid coordinators, but if I have enough talent, this is the Deion formula. If I have enough talent, that's not going to matter. It's about the Jimmys and Joes and not the X's and O's. I think this is a season where they're going to probably prove that. I'd be surprised if they didn't. But if they don't, then we know it doesn't work here, because you have to have the X's and O's, because they don't.
Let's be honest. Fans don't care if kids go to class. Fans don't care if kids graduate. They care about wins and losses. We only have about 30 to 45 seconds left. If for some reason, and I hope the program improves, but I'm not going to take back what I said. Deion Sanders puts on a show. He makes you believe one thing when the other thing is not true. Again, his son walking into a chemistry class, he takes his classes online. Why are you filming this? But I digress. Let's say he walks out of the building. He leaves Boulder after this season. When they pull up the rug from the Deion Sanders experiment, being here for 2 years, what's going to be under that rug that has been covered up?
Some of the, a long list of minor NCAA infractions that haven't come to light yet. One, two, not a lot of players, because they're all going to leave.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's going to be, I do, and that's a whole other topic for a whole other show. I do not envy whomever has to follow Deion Sanders, because there is nothing established here, either from the staff that remains or the current staff or the talent who are likely to remain, that are going to set you up for long-term success. I unfortunately feel that's a tough one for anybody to walk into. And if they're walking into it next year, you know, God help them.
Sean, thanks for your time. Great column. Everyone should read Sean Keeler's column.
Nicely done, Sean.
Well done. Talk to you soon, my friend. Take care, guys.
You bet. See ya.
Coming up after the break, Nuggets are playing tonight. And how in the world are they going to stop Anthony Edwards? That's next.
Brother Bellet's in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun.
Suddenly red blue lights flash out from behind. Loud voice booming, please step out on.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Wednesday, construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream, travel trailers, campers, a boat, containers, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
You can make the case Christian Brown saying, "We're the defending champs, we got to act like it," is not the most stunning quote that came after the Game 1 loss. The most stunning quote came from Anthony Edwards when he said, "About the first half, I have never gotten so many easy buckets."
I love this guy on so many different levels, and I love his candor. That might surprise some people, but was he wrong?
No.
I mean,
well, he shot 10 to 17 from the floor for 25 points.
I mean, he was getting easy baskets when the game was still in doubt. Look at the last, try to stop ball. You know, KCP just was in over his head, in my opinion.
So who guards him?
But that's the problem. You got to roll him back out tonight. He's got to get a chance.
Somebody said to me, "Well, put Gordon on him." Well, Gordon's not fast enough.
No.
But even so, yes, it would make sense to put Gordon on him. However, who guards Cat? Who's guarding him?
That's why matchups are an important thing.
Right.
Right. So
Edwards is going to get his. This year is his coming out party.
Mm-hmm. And he can get his. He just needs to be a little less efficient. That's where he needs to feel the Nuggets. He needs to feel the Nuggets so he's not shooting 65%. I don't care if he gets his, because he's going to shoot the ball a lot, and he should. I just would like it if you could just make him a little less efficient.
Would you double him?
I don't know if I'd double him, but I mean, I might try some different guy. I'd run some different guys at him. Christian Brown at least has the size and the feet.
What about Peyton Watson? Now, Peyton, but they're not starters.
No, they're guys coming off the bench.
Right.
Peyton Watson's fine. Like I said, I thought their bench play was actually okay.
Yep.
I don't think it was a problem.
But they didn't make key buckets, key plays, and key moments like Naz Reid did.
Naz Reid, you can make the argument, in the moment was the difference in the game. In the moment of a game that was midway through the third period, tied, essentially.
Well, think about this as well. We're all thinking, okay, good, Cat's in foul trouble. So good, because the guy who took his spot poured in 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. You went through various stages of that game where the Nuggets had no answers. Right. They had no answers for Edwards. They didn't have an answer for Naz Reid. They didn't get over the top of screens and try to take Mike Conley off of his getting to his spot. I mean, there were just so many moments in that game one that the Timberwolves did the right thing and the Nuggets didn't. Okay. Fine. There are a couple of things that you can do right off the bat, and the first thing is starts with defense, that can change the tenor of the game tonight.
How confident, real quick, before we hit a break, do you feel about the Nuggets winning tonight? Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I feel very confident. 1
6. 6.5, maybe.
Alex?
I was literally thinking 6 before Bruce answered, so.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
Nope.
It's not. I mean, they've got to overcome the matchup.
You know what the funny thing is? During last year's playoff run, I know Michael Malone made adjustments. He didn't have to make a ton. His work is going to be cut out for him.
Yeah.
But besides the fact, he needs to get his players playing 48 minutes.
Well, if the Nuggets aren't any better than trying the same thing that just didn't work in game one, whether it be attitude, effort, urgency, defensive, whatever the case, if you're willing enough to just go out and roll out the same attack, good luck.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll talk about the greatest roast of all time last night involving Tom Brady. And at 22 years old, how does Anthony Edwards compare to some of the other all-time greats at that same age? We'll talk about it next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream, travel trailers, campers, a boat, containers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfields has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it.
Okay, guys, just in case you missed it, Tom Brady took his share of barbs from comedians, former teammates, and his longtime coach Bill Belichick last night during a made-for-streaming live comedy event on Netflix. One quote from Brady that stood out to me was when they got into the Deflategate scandal. Brady said, "The NFL spent $20 million to prove I more than probably than not deflated footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would have told you I effing did it." This even got a standing ovation from Bill Belichick. Any thoughts on Brady admitting to Deflategate or anything else with the roast last night?
I mean, Tom Brady's got Teflon. I mean, anything that he can and will say can't be used against him because he's Tom Brady. I have no problem with it. I'm not a big roast guy. Not my deal.
Peyton Manning showed up. You knew that he would. He was terrific. Gronkowski was great. They had some really good comedians. But the best quote coming about that roast was from a guy who wasn't even there. When Eli Manning was asked, "Why didn't you go?" And he said, "Because I did not want to roast Tom for a third time."
Pretty good. That's mic a drop your rap. Yeah. That's a pretty mic drop moment right Man. There.
Doesn't get better than that from you.
No.
All right. Just in case you missed it, as we know, Anthony Edwards is still just 22 years of age. This is his fourth playoff series of his career, and he's averaging 29.8 points per game in the playoffs, seemingly getting better and better on both ends of the floor. You know, a lot of people calling him the best two-way player in the league right now. We hear the Michael Jordan comparisons pretty frequently. At this point in his career, is he ahead of where Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant were at when they were 22 years old?
Well, yeah, because he's played longer. Jordan was only in his second season and missed most of it with a broken foot at the age of 22. I want you to listen very closely to what Michael Jordan did from the age 23 to age...
23, interesting number.
Mm-hmm. Yes, isn't it? From 23 to 34, 37, 35, 33, 34... 32, 31, 32 and a half, 31, 30. MVP, never worse, never lower, other than 1 year when he was injured, than third in the league. He was a defensive player of the year once. He was an NBA first team all defensive player 9 straight years. I love Anthony Edwards. He's got a hell of a long way to go.
He does.
That's all I'll say.
And in Michael Jordan's fourth year in the playoffs, he averaged 36 points a game. By the way, the year before, third year in the playoffs, averaged 36 points a game. His second year in the playoffs, he averaged 44 points a game.
Yeah.
The difference between Michael Jordan and Anthony Edwards is size. Michael Jordan hadn't grown into his frame at that point. Anthony Edwards is built like a man.
Yep.
Michael Jordan really wasn't, but Anthony Edwards is on a trajectory of not being the next Michael Jordan, because I don't think anybody will.
He can
will.
Be the first Anthony Edwards and be just great. I mean, don't you think?
Here's the thing. Michael Jordan would never, ever be insulted by somebody comparing Anthony Edwards to him, because Michael Jordan made that comparison himself, saying, yeah, there is nobody in the league that reminds me of me more than Anthony Edwards. And he is just getting started.
Yep, I agree.
But you know another difference between Anthony Edwards and Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant is? Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant wore a scowl on their face during the playoffs. Anthony Edwards wears a smile.
Happy assassin.
Those are the ones you really have to look out
for. You're darn right.
Because you never know what's coming. Mm-hmm. Although the way he undressed and then pointed it out to Kevin Durant was something.
Well, you kill him with kindness and respect, right?
Well, that's what Anthony Edwards has done in this series.
Exactly.
Jamal Murray is my favorite player to watch.
Boom.
Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league.
Boom.
Michael Jordan was famous for softening guys up before the playoffs by taking them to dinner. He did that famously with Charles Barkley. Took him for dinner, was his friend, and played nice until they got on the floor. And Barkley's thinking, hey, we're buddies. Bang, rolls off 40 right in Barkley's grill.
True that.
He's doing that every game, too. Calling Durant his favorite player and then praising the Nuggets after that
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
Smart.
I thought he was really good defensively, starting out on Murray. That surprised me a little bit.
High energy.
Surprised me at all.
No, it was really? It was a good way to start the game. Yeah,
he handcuffed him.
Yeah, that ball pressure.
Totally.
Man. Yeah, that was
that
was
that on ball pressure was difference in the game.
People around here don't watch him a lot. I have been bullish on Minnesota all year. I even said the same thing about Oklahoma City early on. There is a reason why, I'm sorry to put this out there, there is a reason why I put a bet on Minnesota to win the Western Conference. Nothing to do with the Nuggets, no disrespect to them. I felt they were coming. I saw what the matchups would be, and I liked the Minnesota matchup. I hope the Nuggets win. I want them to win. I want more basketball. It's the matchups that concern me.
Yeah.
Who wins tonight?
Nuggets.
I'll take the Nuggets by 5.
I think the Nuggets win. I will not be surprised one bit if Minnesota wins.
No.
None.
No, but I'm taking the Nuggets tonight.
And if the Nuggets do not win tonight, we're looking at best a gentleman sweep. At best. Nuggets are cooked. If they lose 2 games at home, they're done. It might be a gentleman sweep. They will know they cannot beat this team.
Yeah, they lose this one tonight. They don't win this. They
No, it's not that they don't win the series. It doesn't go 7, and I don't know if it goes 6. Because remember, generally speaking, guys off the bench play better at home than they do on the road. I hope I'm wrong. That's going to do it for us. Brett, Alex, great job as always. Same with you, Bruce. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible day you can.